Okay, so we're going to do, you know, in the past, we probably have taught maybe 1 through 4, but I wanted to spend more than 1 week on these passages because it's just such, these are just such important passages, the first 4 verses in chapter 3 of Colossians. So can I have someone read these 4 verses? You can read them from here, or and you extra points, of course.
Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Thank you. Okay, so I've underlined, there are 4 verbs here that kind of, it's pretty cool. And I got some of this from Macaulay, which I thought he did a great job here. So the ones that are underlined are verbs. So the, as we found out last week, you have been raised, or better, you have been co-raised. And then down verse 3, you have died. And then your life is hidden. And you also will be revealed. So in the next chart, we'll kind of put those together and kind of show you. It talks about our past, when we came to faith in Christ, our present, and our future. And then the ones in blue, we had lots of questions last week about seeking the things above and setting your minds on the things above. So I decided to go back and look at that again. Fortunately, in 2011, I did this, I had taught this, so I had my old notes, I looked back and looked. That always is a tremendous help, but I, you know, you're never satisfied, so I looked at those and tweaked those a little bit, so I'm very thankful I had that. So this is, you know, I think we had a great time last week, but I think we can even learn more. So, okay, so let's go on. So basically, you know, what happened here? You know, Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. But the cool part is that we're involved in each of these parts, right? Our co-death with him, our co-burial, and our co-resurrection. The co-death and resurrection are spoken of in the verses 1 and death is in 3, verse 3, and resurrection is in verse 1. The co-burial is actually earlier in Colossians, back in chapter 2. Where it says, having been co-buried or buried with him in baptism. So we share in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. For Holly Hills, this is 101, right? A lot of places, they don't, and it's sad. It really is sad because, you know, you have God at a distance, and God doesn't want to be at a distance. He wants you to realize that you have this incredible relationship with him. And actually, looking at these verses, it just, the question is, do we believe what these verses say? And that's the tough part. And I put myself in that category. Do I believe on a day-by-day basis as I go through life and all the pressures of life and all the stuff that happens? Do I go back and say, well, Roger, I'll fix this or I'll get this done? And sometimes I do. But the Lord wants us to see it from that we are, you know, he is our life. And to see it from his perspective. And these verses are to help us to do that. And also the encouragement to seek and to set our minds. Those two things are really important too. Okay, so let's go on here. So I adapted this from Macaulay. I kind of filled in some of the blanks, so to speak, recognizing our position in Christ. So basically, he labels this section union with Christ. I think it's very appropriate, and we're going to look at that a little bit. Its features. First of all, our position relative to the past. So we saw that in verse 3, you have died, and then in verse 1, you were raised. So our past is actually the event of the cross, right? The death, burial, and resurrection. So that's our past as a believer. When we trusted in those facts, we became a believer. So what's our present? Our present relationship right now to our Savior is, and this verse isn't totally complete. It has one aspect of that. It says your life is hidden. So we want to look at that. What does that mean, my life is hidden? There's a bunch of other cool stuff that we know we have right now. But our present position is our life is hidden. And that kind of made me think in studying and reading through this, you know, believers' place in Christ is certainly not, and certainly in today's world, is not a popular, especially in our world, a very toxic world. You know, if you're in the limelight and you say you're a Christian, a lot of times that you can get beat up and called all, you know, most incredible things. You see it over and over again. It's sad.
But that's where. Correct.
What's that? And yeah, it's not politically correct to be a Christian.
No.
Now you can be any other religion,
yes,
but not a Christian.
That's right.
So if you want to be politically correct, you probably chose the wrong.
Become a Buddhist.
Right, there you go. Okay, and then in these verses, our position relative to the future, you also will be revealed. So it's kind of cool. We're gonna go from being hidden to be revealed, and when Christ comes, we're going to come with him. So we're going to be revealed. And then part two of this, what Macaulay had, he only had the A and the B lines. He had the A and he just had the title, past, present, future. So I said, well, let's tie it together here. So then he had the second part, which is in here. He talks about our mental focus. What's our mental focus to be in our Christian life? First of all, you keep on seeking the things above, and these aren't to be burdens. This isn't to be, I gotta seek some more this week. I gotta get in there. This is something we desire to know more about our Savior, more about Him, and to understand Him. So it's the seeking is not to be a burden, and the setting your minds. You set your minds on things above. And this is not to be a burden either. Why wouldn't you set your mind on something that's so wonderful and so important? Okay, so that's kind of an overview of those four verses. So I'm going to go back and we're going to kind of fill in some of the blanks here. Okay, so let's just go back and I did this back. Actually, I when we taught Ephesians originally, cautions and Ephesians are very close. They track each other. And actually Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. And he says a very similar thing in Ephesians. So, to the saints and faithful brother in Christ. So what does that prepositional phrase in Christ mean? And I got some help here from Macaulay again and others. In, a primary preposition, a fixed position in place, time, or state. And then Macaulay says basically that The grammatically, the designation is in the locative, or that's it's a location or position, a case. It would be therefore correct to say in union with Christ. The example that's given in some of the textbooks are the farmer is in the house. So this tells our place as a believer. We're in union with Christ, which is wonderful. That's another. God isn't far away. We are, as a believer, we're in union. And then I kind of expanded a little bit. I believe it's better. We're in a living union, basically, because of many other verses. It's not union with Christ. I mean, this living, interactive union with our Savior. And then here's a little picture. I mean, not hard to draw this picture. You draw Christ, and it says we're in, and you put the believer inside that. So the prepositional phrase, in Christ, is the most fundamental expression in the New Testament for what it means to be a Christian. And that's from Macaulay. I didn't highlight that. This is a favorite of Paul's. I think it's either in Christ or in Him, and variations of that are, I think it's over 200 possibly. These in Christ statements about the believer are called the positional truths. Okay, so that's just kind of a review. Okay, so now let's look at now I want to just switch and look at our mental focus. You know, we had a lot of discussion last week about seeking and setting your mind, and then the things. There's somebody in this place asked about the things. Who could that be? I know it. And that's an excellent question.
You know what comes to mind?
Go ahead.
Though, is being in Christ seems like that could be a thing.
Okay. Well, that actually is not bad. That's not okay.
Think of the things above. It seems like that might be one of the things that you're supposed to be thinking of.
Well, okay. I like that. We're going to see. This is somewhat. I looked at different people, and different people had some different ideas, and so let's see. Keep that in mind. I think that's pretty close. Okay, you's implied. You keep seeking the things above. seeking is either to desire, carries with it a sense of making an examination. It's, if you think about it, it's like, have you ever tried to find something, find a recipe, find something? You're trying to, and you're looking through books, and you're finding, you know, that's what they're talking about. You're trying, well, what's this? What's this? You know, what's it? What's the Lord about? And we do that at some level. We say, well, meantime something will happen. And we'll say, boy, I remember something about that. And we'll, where is that in Scripture? And we're seeking to understand our Savior. And then and I like this. Does not imply something that is trying to elude us. God isn't saying, okay, try to get me. No, you can't. You can't get me. No, not at all. In fact, actually, just the opposite. Is absolutely opposite of that. He's not trying to be elusive. He says, seek me so we can get to know each other better. Just like you would, like with our grandkids, we have the greatest time. We have two little twin boys, and they are just incredible. They, you know, of course, they are already competitive. What one twin has, the other one wants. You can guarantee it. So we have to kind of creatively give them two different things and make them think they're satisfied. But what the other one has is what I want. And so they're just they're just great. Okay, so let's look at Matthew. Does someone read Matthew 6:33 for me? And that uses this word that we have here. A pretty familiar passage, actually.
But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Okay, so basically, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Seeking God, and all these things will be added to you. There's a little more in the context. Okay, so that's one usage. So the question is, why keep seeking? And I've kind of alluded to that. So why should we keep desiring, examining? Why should we do that?
I think one thing is because every time we do it, we're in a different place.
Okay.
So we might see different things, or, you know, we might have learned something since the last time that we can build on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
cool.
It's you know, in a way, it's always kind of fresh and new.
Right.
And we
right.
might learn different things.
Well, that's one of the reasons why it's neat being a teacher, because I get to do this for free. I mean, what I'm trying to say, does that sound the right way? If the Lord says seek, and I'm already studying His Word, I'm already there. I'm already involved in that. Well, what does this mean? What does this verse mean? I got to say something about this verse, and people expect me to understand it, right? So, wow, Lord, what does this verse say? So I'm already, I desire to know what it says, so I can communicate that. So it's, so some things that occur to me. Think about this. If you've already learned that, you know, if you be risen with Christ, that's kind of the beginning part. So if we are risen, and we are risen positionally, not physically, we're here. We know we're here, right? And we know aches and pains and everything else. But we are raised positionally in our Savior. So we know that. Why wouldn't we want to hang out in the place that we're at, that we're going to be at physically at one point? You know, it makes sense. We want to hang out to where our home is, basically. That's our home, right? How about the verse that talks about where to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him? I think it all kind of fits in that seeking what the Lord is about. Since you're risen with Him, it naturally follows that you should seek the things above. If you're co-raised with Him, why wouldn't you seek where you're at? Okay. So part B of... Okay, things above. All right. Okay, well, here's my first... Okay, we'll go with... Okay. First of all, I see two parts. Where to seek who Christ is. His person, right? And it's just... let's look at John chapter 1. Well, let me just read part of it here. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about our Savior. It talks about... He's called the Word in this context. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And it talks about things coming, happening through Him. And then it talks about, in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the things above are the things about our Savior. He's a person, and he's God, and it, you know, this This verse talks about them, who he is, and he is truly God, and he is God, and he's with God. So it talks about the persons of the Godhead. And his work, Christ's work, died for all sins. And he also, on top of that, besides dying for all sins, he died unto, or in relationship to the sin nature, to set us free. Okay, so that's who he is, things about part one and part two, who we are in him. I think we alluded to this last week a little bit. We're in this living union, as we talked about earlier. And then the part that I just really like, and I was mentioned last week too, the things above are these wonderful attributes that we have, wonderful places we have in relation to our Savior. And, you know, they've been compiled by different people, but the list that we always go to a lot of times is the one by Chafer. So I have that on the next page here. So actually, this is just the riches of God's grace, and this is just in chapter 1 of Ephesians. So there's at least 10 things in chapter 1 of Ephesians. So we possess every spiritual blessing in the eternal plan of God, in verse 4. Children of God and sons of God. So I guess what I'm pointing out here, the things of God as I see it are these wonderful truths that we know about our Savior, that's who he is and what he's done, and then our relationship to our Savior. Those are the things that occur to me. So let's go on with this. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, made acceptable in verse 6, redeemed in verse 7, forgiven all trespasses in 7, in the eternal plan of God in verse 11, blessed with the earnest of the first fruits of the Spirit, verse 14, his inheritance within the much more care of God, his power. So that's about 10. So this, you know, if you ever looked at Chafer's list, and we have print on the website, there's 23 more, I think. We have 33. This is 10 of them. So, and this is what's amazing. It's amazing how certain, you know, Ephesians is called the heavenly book. And so we see this wonderful list of, and I think those are the things that he's asking us to. So we think about we're his child. I mean, and you know, I can see a lot of these are. Think about this. If you don't understand, let's take just the first one we mentioned last week. This as well, possessing every spiritual blessing. If that isn't in your frame of mind, you might go off and try to find. Oh, there must be some spiritual blessing I haven't gotten. And somebody told me about something over here. It's in this book. If you go down that path, then you're disregarding what Scripture has said, that you have them all. Whatever is, there's none more to be added. That's it. We have them all. Now, do we understand them all? Probably not, but we have them all. So the things of God, and I, anyone else want to kind of chime in about the things of God? I tried to go back. We had a discussion last week. I tried to go back and think about that, and I actually found Merriman had an idea. I'll share that in just a second. But any other thoughts about the things of God? Because he's going to make a comparison here in a bit between the things of God and the things of the earth. He's going to make a comparison shortly here, and we covered that last week. But
and you know, if we uh-huh. if all we did was pay attention to what we have and who we are,
right?
I mean, that right there, we could just concentrate on that.
And I think that's why I was said before you walked in that this is not to be a burden. Oh, I gotta set my mind. I gotta do this.
This is already who we are.
Right. You're right. There's no struggle here. This is just to remember what we have. Mm-hmm. So it's not to be a struggle. We have to remind ourselves. So this is where I find many times I operate. I know this, but I don't operate by this. I do something, I say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to do that. No, do I really need to do that? No, I don't need to.
You need to be reminded.
Well, exactly, and that's what we're doing, and that's why this is such. These verses are such so important. Actually, Merriman said something about, he said, do I believe these? Do I believe these truths? Do you believe them? Does your pastor or elder believe them? They're there, but you do believe them. Do you operate, and that's, and Mike's always talking about this, you know, it's, it says it here, do we believe what it says? That's the challenge many times. It's not that we don't have the information, especially...
Can we send this memo to all the other Protestant churches in the metro area?
Okay. You know? Do you believe that you have
this is who you are.
Right. Yeah. Right. I don't know. Yeah, that's true. So it's not that we don't have the information. It's not there. And well documented. It's just, you know. Anyway, so let's keep going. This is under the context of seeking. So now part two is he wants us to seek or investigate and find out, desire to know that. And the second part is we're to seek and then to set your mind. It's part two. Set your mind. Basically, it's learn to think about. This is pretty cool. You seek these truths and then you think about them. Duh, this is not hard. This is not rocket science. Okay, what does it mean that I have every spiritual blessing? You know? Okay, to direct one's mind. Okay, so let's look at, someone read Romans 8:5. And this is kind of a comparison.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Okay, so what I like here is it used our favorite word here, right? The things, okay? They're the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. What we just had were the things of the Spirit about us. That's the things that... So that word things shows up, I think we've talked about that, it shows up in a bunch of places, and you got to look at the context. So this is a comparison between the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. Okay. The object is to be the... So in this context, right, set your mind on the object is to be the things above. So the order is first seek, first desiring, and then... Think about it. Set your mind on that. I think I had a... I was thinking, some people would say, well, set your mind on things above. Well, or they, oh, yeah, streets of gold. They have all, and they are all true, but that's not the point. There's a person. Heaven is a person, right? Heaven is our Savior, and we're seated with Him. So we're... You know, it's like, imagine if you go home and you admire all the furniture and your wife's sitting in the corner. Oh, that's great furniture here. You know, you miss the person. Not to do that. And heaven is a person.
But aren't we also already there?
And mm-hmm. Exactly.
Positionally, we're there. And that's why that statement of keep looking down
is so appropriate.
Is so appropriate because... Right. That's where we are. We should be in our minds realizing that we're there.
Exactly.
We're already there. We have those things.
Right.
Pat, we have those things.
Poor Pat. I was thanking Pat. Beat up Pat. Yeah. Okay. And then actually, I looked at, Merriman took a little bit different tact on this. He kind of said, well, let's look at, yes, Christ, we're looking at a person, but let's examine the ministries that Christ has in heaven. You know, He's our advocate. He went through a whole list, six things, and if you want, I could bring that here next week or whatever. But he had six things, and I was thought about working into that, and I said, oh, I don't know. Time was marching on, and so anyway. But he attacked it from, let's look at the ministries of Christ from heaven, which I thought was kind of cool. And so he went through all the, and he found six categories. One of them is our advocate. And another, and they fit in kind of a different direction, but I thought it was good too. So there's a couple different ways you can look at that, but the things above are the things about our Savior and the things about what He, our relationship to that. Okay. Now here's not next. I'll do the contrast. Not setting your minds on the things of earth. Okay, so let's look at Philippians. 3:17-21. Did someone read that?
brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Great, thank you. So in that verse, you know, in verse 17, it talks about, he says, he's saying, brethren, join in following my example, and observe the things, those things, and walk according to the pattern you have in us. And then in 18 and 19, he talks about, for many, many seems to be unbelievers, probably, for many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. I guess they've been them. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on things of earth. Then he switches in 20, he says, and actually I like in the numerics, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. And this is cool, this is to Margaret's point, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus. So it's cool. So we're waiting from heaven. We're waiting from heaven for a savior to return. Kind of different. So I'm waiting to be taken. Well, I'm waiting from heaven. That's where I'm at. Okay. So it's a contrast between the things above and the things of earth. And there's another here. I had a little pictorial. This is from Hal, Brother Hal. He had his couple in the heavenlies, and then the couple on the earth. So, and the contrast, things of earth and things of heaven. And then there's another, can someone read 1 John 2, 15 to 17?
Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. 17.
Yes, please.
The word is passing away. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever.
Okay, the reason I chose this is that it kind of has a synonym of the things of earth, and I think the synonym here is the world. So in John, he talks about, do not love the world, or the things of earth, you could say. And he talks about the results of loving the world. But the world seems to be a synonym for the things of earth. So it's a contrast for the things of heaven, which he says that's where we should be. Okay.
Is the world more like the world system, though? Because we have things.
Okay.
Families. And
okay. Okay.
So it has to be not with everything in the world.
Okay. That's, yeah. you might want to change my mind about that. Okay. let's see here what I want to say about that. You could argue. I mean, you could. I don't want to discount how dear and your family is, and your relationship, and your brother, and your spiritual family, your brothers and sisters. I mean, they're all. But you can actually wind up putting more time into that than with the Lord. You can say, well, I'm serving the Lord by just hugging every brother and sister I have. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that a contrast he wants to point is that there are the things about you and what you have in your Savior is a focus of a believer's life. Yes, you're blessed by having family and children and a spiritual home, a body of believers. But that's not the, you know, the focus is a Savior. If you, I don't know, does that help at all? Probably not. Okay. Hey. Any other thoughts on that? Go ahead.
I've often struggled with that, the blessings, you know, but for the grace of God go I and this kind of thing. But how about those that aren't blessed? I mean, if we look at someone
as a
believer and he's in dire shape, maybe he lives in South Africa or
right.
anywhere, and he doesn't, to our thinking, doesn't have the same blessings, and yet he's blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heaven.
Good point.
So the blessings that we have on earth are, I mean, it's okay to be thankful, but they're not necessarily,
good.
Well, you're blessed more than this guy.
Right.
Because, you know, that doesn't fit.
No, that's good. That's a really good way. Because you can think about, some people, you know, we have families and say they had no family and had no body of believers to fellowship with. But the Lord still loves them, and they still have that wonderful blessing in heaven. So we're very thankful that we have these blessings of family.
Another thing I was thinking about is, you know, the plaque with the footprints in the sand.
Yeah, right.
That's an earthly thing.
That's true.
And when we look at that and say, well, he carries us through this and this. Well, he does, but again, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. How much better is that than having him carry us through the sand? You know?
Exactly. I know. That's very true.
It's kind of elementary rather than looking at positional truth, which is so much more.
Well, I find we get distracted by we are blessed, and especially in this country and just where we live right now. I mean, I feel we're blessed more than, if you travel any amount, you see that, my goodness, it's incredible. Yeah. We have so much. But in a way, that can distract you from our wonderful heavenly blessings. Okay, all right. Okay, now. So now we're finally going to get to 3 and 4. Okay. So actually what we're going to see here, that verse 3 is going to kind of show us that the first two are possible. It's going to say, for based upon 1 and 2 of these things, it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So let's just kind of focus on that for now. For you have died. It's expressing for the reason for what's gone before. For you've died. Past point fact. Why did you die? Why did you die? Why did you have to die? you guys know the answer. Come on. To separate it from our sin nature.
Yeah, well, it's
I mean,
what we hear every week.
Every week.
We've died to sin.
Right. Well, it's actually two. Well, then
and the sin nature.
Right.
And
right.
We're risen with Christ
right.
in newness of life.
Right. That we had, I mean, that was the only way God, you know, I was gonna say, God is sovereign, but that's the way he separated us from our sin nature. And that we're free to act contrary to our sin nature. We're not a slave to our sin nature. That's what the freed part is. When did you die? This is somewhat of a trick question. When did that happen?
Christ at the cross.
Okay, that's
before
good.
The foundation of
that's good. Okay. How about when you accepted Christ?
Right.
So there's multiple answers to this. I was thinking about that. Okay, good. You guys are good. You must go to a good church.
Finally get through.
Okay, cool. And this is the cool part. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. So what life? What life is hidden? These are all you guys. All what life is hidden?
Christ's life.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's our life in Him. That's it's our new life, right? It's our resurrected life.
Our eternal life.
Eternal life. He's not hiding. You know, our Adamic life. You know, life that's we've been separated from that. So that's okay. What does hidden mean? What do you think hidden means?
Uh,
And this isn't hard.
It can't be seen by the world.
Excellent, Roy. That's really good. And it cannot be seen. And that's why we're, if the world actually realized who we're hidden in, they would be shaking in their boots, but they're not, and they don't recognize that. So
we are a new creation, and yet when you stand in front of the mirror, does it look like a new creation?
No.
So no. It's kind of a hidden thing.
It is.
But we accept it by faith.
Right. Well, isn't the cool part, it says we're hidden, then we're going to learn that it's going to be revealed just shortly here. So it's really cool stuff here. Well, I think it's really it's actually to cover up, to be hidden. It's key to be hit. It's in something. We're hidden in something, and what the in something is described.
Christ.
Yeah, and here's this picture. I tried. I don't know. I like this picture, but of course I drew it. Right. I help with a lot of help from, you know. So it's a double whammy, a double assurance. We're with Christ in God. So I have the inner part is your life is hidden. We're with Christ in God. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff. We've got a double whammy. So our life is hidden with Christ in God, with our Savior. And we're in the triune God. Oh yeah, and then John 17. Just turn there. I'll just point it. There's 4 points I want to make in John 17. Turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to 21 through 24. And I'll just point out a couple of things. There are four things that kind of speak to this being with Christ and God. And if you look in John 17, starting in verse 21, and it says that they may all be one, even as you. And I'm reading from New American Standard. If you have, you know, the King James is a tough one to read this from, but the New American Standard ones that have taken the, you have yous and us, you know, easier words, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That's one of them. Then B is the second one is they also may be in us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. And if you go down to 22, it says that they may be one just as we are one. Then 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. I mean, I just kind of read the small little part. It's just, you know, you read through this and you see we're in this incredible relationship with our Savior and with the Godhead. So we're hidden with Christ in God. Pretty incredible things.
You know, Roger.
Yes, go ahead.
That reminds me also of the passage in John 10 where Jesus stated that about, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's kind of the same idea.
Though. Good. That's it. Yeah. Who's gonna disturb that situation?
Yeah.
And that's to give us great comfort. So this is our current state. This is present tense. This is we're presently hidden.
And I kind of think about how people teach that you can lose your salvation. We're so secure.
I know. Our Savior's going to have to fail, and God's going to have to fail for that to happen.
Yeah.
So, it's,
hey, Roger.
Go ahead.
I noticed that in my Bible, and probably everybody else, the title of that section is their future glory. Well, it might have been future for them, but it's not future.
No.
So when you read that, it's almost like you're thinking, well, that won't happen till we
right.
get to glory. But
No.
That's right now.
No, that I
so
agree.
So I changed that in my
mind. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. This is now. And I think many times people read that in John 17, and they don't see that this is, and this reaffirms it. You know, that's a present tense verb. Your life is hidden presently with Christ in God. So this is a present reality for us. Okay, so now we're going to switch to the future. When Christ, who is our life, it's lived with Christ, the life of you. And isn't that amazing? Christ, the life of you. How do we know that Christ is our life? This verse tells us, but there are other verses that come to mind. If you look at your notes, you'll see them. But and one is an all-time favorite one.
Yeah.
From that one, if you don't get excited about that one, you're never going to get excited. I shouldn't say that. Okay, well, the first one that comes to mind certainly is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and this is a cool part. It is no longer I who live. It totally fits with that. but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
And I think we stopped too short. I think we should go to 2:21.
And tell us 2:21? I'm sorry.
If righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain.
Right.
I think that verse is so powerful. And it's like people skip over it.
And that's what we're just hammering away in Galatians here every week. You know, Mike, we're going to take another look. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to another look at the law. You're going to say, Mike and Roger, I can't take any more of this law. You guys, we've been arguing about the law. The law is this, the law is that. But the law, I guess, is not helpful. It's a jailer. It imprisons you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Thanks. And then Philippians 1:21, it says, this is a cool one. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. And then 6:4, someone read 6:4.
Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life.
It's the last part of that I was thinking about, so that we too might walk in newness of life. Okay. And then the B part, when Christ is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Revealed is to become visible, to show openly. Christ is revealed. When's Christ going to be revealed? What's that?
At the second coming?
Excellent. Okay. And remember, someone else is going to be revealed there too, right? This says it. We're going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's described in Revelation. Could someone read that? Revelation 19, 11 to 14.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, and upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath.
That's fine. It's all good. Okay.
I say 17.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. It is all good. It's good.
Keep going.
Yeah. Well, the part that you know, I find a little hard. You have to kind of think about it and look and kind of compare things. But if you go back to 14, it talks about and the armies, plural, which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And so most, you know, I'm not the best in Revelation, but most, and I think I agree with them, most see that as that's the church. The church is in heaven at this point. The church is in heaven. And we're coming with Christ, clothed in, because we've been bought. We've been in fine linen, white and clean, riding white horses. Boy, everything is white. And it's amazing.
And we get to ride horses
too, if you didn't even ride a horse. Okay, so that's pretty cool. So we've gone from being hidden for our time here on earth, to being revealed. Okay, so that kind of wraps up 1 through 4. Hope we answer all your questions about the things. I can bring Macaulay's little thing about what Christ is doing. If you want, I've been copying it. I'll bring one. If somebody wants it, they can just ask me. It's a one-page thing, or two, actually two pages. Okay, well, let's close. We thank you, Father. We thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the blessings we have, Father. Thank you just for your marvelous word, for these truths, Lord, about us, our relationship with you. Help us to believe them. Help us just to trust in you and to walk by faith, believing what we have in our Savior. We ask it in his name. Amen.